Follow the order of matins on page 219 in the front of the hymnal and also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he is the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble.
He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is He.
The King in His might loves justice.
You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool.
Holy is He.
Moses and Aaron were among His priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon His name.
They called to the Lord, and He answered them.
In the pillar of the cloud He spoke to them. They kept His testimonies
and the statute that He gave them.
O Lord our God, You answered them.
You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain.
For the Lord our God is holy.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 58. And as you remember, we are working through 1 Corinthians 15 in three Sundays. This is our last Sunday of doing that. We end at the end of chapter 15. Paul wrote, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, being, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall also bear, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Creation, Son.
The Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with them. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Congregation may be seated.
Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, to him the throne high above all things is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him in heaven. God is faithful, doubtings hence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives for me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living, pure in heart and act above. Shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, I know full well. Nothing me from him shall sever. Neither death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. God. God will be my sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence.
The sermon is based on the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we just heard. I reread the last couple of verses. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you'd like, you can follow along the sermon notes on the little yellow half page. We have been following during this whole time of Epiphany the assigned readings out of 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. And in chapter 15, we've taken 3 weeks to consider it. And I replaced, all these were the regular readings, although this week I replaced the epistle reading with the assigned reading from Hebrews to finish up chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And if you think about it, there is this very close connection to the victory over death, the end of death in Christ's death and resurrection, and his transfiguration. He is the Son of God. And we listen to him. And as all these chapters of 1 Corinthians that we've covered in much less 15, I have to apologize to you. There's way more sermons in chapter 15 than 3. Because there's so much here that Paul wants to share, that he wanted to share with the Christians in Corinth, and he shares with us today as well. So these are some highlights out of this section of chapter 15, but there's more there too. He points out to the Corinthians that when God made Adam, he created Adam and Eve according to this world and this universe. And so Adam is from the dust, from the ground, from the things of this world that God first created in those first 5 days, and then on the sixth day created Adam and Eve. And Eve is formed from Adam. They're all together of this world. Their bodies. That is God's design. And Paul brings this out in his teachings in these verses because, first of all, this is very evident, isn't it? For even in Scripture it says, for dust you are, to dust you will return. Our bodies are of the things of this universe, of our existence here. And when we die, we return to the earth. And that's what we see naturally. And that's what many people believe, that's it, that's done. But Paul's point here that brings out, yes, that's how God created them, that's from the first Adam, but there is a second Adam. And something more happens. And I have printed there verses 47 through 48 of 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And herein we see some very close things that we can learn from Jesus' transfiguration. We do not shine like that of our own. Maybe if we put lights all over us and plug in those lights, then we could become real bright, but that's not our brightness. That's the electricity from the lights on us. But he was lit up on his own. He was truly human. He took our human nature upon him, but he is God, and he remains God. And we see that he walked and slept and talked and visited and grew up with his family and his disciples, and yet he is God. Fully human nature taken on, but is God. He never left that or dropped that. He remains God. And Paul's showing that, do you see then, that when this Son of God taken on human nature, then when he dies and rises, what he is also can come to us in baptism. And in Romans 6, he's very clear on that. Everything that Jesus, his grace, his power, his heavenly nature, his spiritual nature, that is given to us. Not that we are God like he is God, but this special neat nature of heaven. That comes to his people so that we will have some of those heavenly qualities. When he rose from the dead, he still ate some fish. He still visited with his disciples. They knew him, and yet he was different. He passed through the walls. He just appeared. He showed his heavenly nature, his spiritual nature, his divine nature. And Paul wants the Corinthians to see, yes, you have this body of the earth now. The elements of the earth make up what you are, yes. But those in Christ will take on what he is. Do not doubt that. We can't see this. We can't measure this. And so it is a mystery. And he says, brothers, what I'm telling you is a mystery. You can't see it. You can't measure it. But it's proclaimed as the truth. And I've noted there, underlined, at God's timing, all Christians living and asleep will be changed to receive our new bodies. And that is part of the mystery. And that's why I underlined it in the notes. It's God's timing. God will reveal these truths to our eyes, to our intellect, to our senses, fully in his time. Many times in life, we Christians can say, well, oh, if God would give me, reminds me of that my wife, reminds me of that one joke book about the Preacher comic book. There's a comic book I had from my aunt. It's called The Preacher. This was not in the sermon. I'll tell you this joke, though. He says, oh, God, if I just had a sign, if I just had a sign, then I would be stronger, then I would be stronger. This is a comic, drawn comic. And so this preacher in his collar is saying this, and the next frame in the comic, there's a giant poof, pow! And then the next frame in the comic, he's holding a sign that says no parking. Kind of, I think it means don't stop here, buddy. You just keep going. See, we act like that. If I have a sign, I'll be okay. But this great mystery is revealed in God's timing. That's why it's a mystery. We haven't seen it yet. It's God's timing, how this is all going to work out. It's His plan. He's in control. When am I going to get a new body? When am I going to go to heaven? When is Jesus going to come again? It's His timing. He's in control because He's going to put this new body together for us. And so it's a mystery. We're not in control of it. God is. And this mystery is this language is so mysterious. Jesus will swallow up death. Swallow up death so it doesn't exist anymore. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? It exists no longer. We believe it. But that timing is still coming. It's still a mystery. It's still in God's timing. This fully see and reveal this. Now, that little quote there in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death is swallowed up in victory," is taken. It's from the Old Testament. Paul is quoting a passage from the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. And I have several verses there to get the context. From Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah prophesied, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations." That covering and the veil is death. He's going to swallow up death at that time, remove it. And then verse 8, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" In Isaiah's prophecy, he includes the joy of the people. When they see this, they said, "This is the Lord. We have waited for him." You see, it's God's timing. It's a mystery. We haven't seen it yet, but we believe it. It's a truth. We haven't seen the evidence. We haven't seen all that yet. And Paul says, but it's going to come true, even as Isaiah says. And the people in the Isaiah passage rejoice and says, "We have waited for God. Now it's come to pass." What are the 2 points that we just heard about the transfiguration? Jesus is God. Listen to him. Jesus revealed his divine nature. When he was on that mountaintop and his 3 disciples that were with him, he shined. He is God. And God the Father says, and listen to him. This is the one by which we will all shine one day. Not our glory, but his glory reflected through us. He will recreate our bodies. He will give us everlasting life. Listen to him. This is the Christ, the voice even said. This is the Messiah, the promised one. Jesus showed his divine quality with his heavenly body. We see that. And do you see how Jesus has power over life and death? When he takes Elijah and Moses and brings them from heaven and says, "I want you to be with me on the mountaintop so that Peter, James, and John see you. And we're going to talk about when I go," and Luke says, or Matthew says, "we're going to talk about when I go to Jerusalem." That's how much power Jesus has. If he wants a prophet who has already died to come back and be witness, he can do it. Power over life and death. And God the Father directs us to listen to him. The very last verse of chapter 15 from 1 Corinthians, Paul says something that's so important to take to heart for us too. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." What is the first word of that sentence, "therefore," referring to? It's referring to everything about the resurrection and Jesus' power over death and victory over death that he has just taught us. Therefore, knowing all this, thus you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that last phrase of that sentence, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. But Lord, I'm doing this so many times over and over again that it's not happening. I know this must be your will, but why is it not happening? Lord, I'm just waiting for you to take me home, but it's not happening. In the Lord, our labor is not in vain. In his timing, in his measurements, in his eternity, our labor is not in vain. Jesus has risen. He is God. He has defeated death, and yet we haven't seen it all yet. But Paul says, your labor is not in vain. It's in the Lord. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to continue to strengthen our faith and confidence that you are risen, that you are the Son of God, and that you will bring us not only to heaven, but raise our bodies one day as well to live with you forever and all your people. Give us such confidence and hope in this that we are immovable and steadfast, and we keep working in your name. Comfort us for the things that seem not to be completed or aren't happening, but comfort us to know that you are in control, even of death itself. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of, in your holy name. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here," 414.
"'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy beauty to behold, where Moses and Elijah stand, thy messengers of old. Fulfiller of the past, and a hope of things to be, we hail thy body glorified, and our redemption see. Before we taste of death, we see thy kingdom come. We long to hold the vision bright and make this hill our home. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since thou biddest us leave the mount, come with us to the plain."
The The congregation is invited to stand. We bring our prayers before the Lord. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in prayer, your Son Jesus revealed his glory to Peter, James, and John. Grant that we also gathered in prayer would see him by faith and receive from him the redemption he has accomplished for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, your Son shines in resurrected light. Illuminate your church with his own brightness, that she may tell the world of his mighty deliverance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, as you appointed Moses of old to lead your people, so you sent your Son Jesus to found and lead your church. Sustain us from age to age, and grant us teachers of righteousness to guide us in the days to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as your Son cares faithfully for his holy church, grant us a sure confidence in him and give us faithful hearts to serve him according to the callings he has given us. We ask you to bless Zion's food bank distribution this week, granting that all participating may be blessed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and abroad, that they would serve with integrity and honor and for the well-being of all. We remember before your throne of grace and power our military persons, chaplains, police, sheriffs, National Guard, and all other law enforcement. Thank you for, and please protect, all who serve us in rescue, firefighting, emergency, and medical services. Grant that all warfare and division in the world, conflict and strife in our country, would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Grant your mercy to those suffering and mourning now in the midst of war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of all comfort, as we follow the way of your apostles into your presence, you join our prayers to the ceaseless petitions of your dear Son. Hear us for the sake of the troubled and sick. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Sue, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin, and Grant Gagelin and his family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus
and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness.
By his grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution.
Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray together the collect for the day. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimonies of Moses and Elijah. With your voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory,
and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We pray the Lord morning prayer.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We pray our Father, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, songs of gladness, voice of joy that cannot die. Alleluia is the anthem ever raised by choirs on high. In the house of God abiding, thus they sing eternally. Alleluia, thou resoundest, true Jerusalem and free. Alleluia, joyful mother, all thy children sing with thee. But by Babylon's sad waters, mourning exiles now are we. Alleluia, cannot always be our song while here below. Alleluia, our transgressions make us for a while forgo. For the solemn time is coming when our tears for sin must flow. Therefore, in our hymns we pray thee, grant us, blessed Trinity, at the last to keep thine Easter with thy faithful saints on high. There to thee forever singing, Alleluia, joyful.